Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
John McClain joins us. You can follow him on Twitter at McClain_on_NFL. John, how are you today?
I'm doing well, guys. Thank you very much.
Best team in the AFC South right now is?
trick question. There's none.
None of the above.
None. That's Texans have the worst three-game winning streak I've ever seen. Titans can't score a touchdown. Jaguars giving up 35 points a game in their last two games. Maybe it's Indianapolis with only a four-game losing streak.
It's really awful. It's kind of like the Titans, John. Every time I think they're going to be an offensive football team, their defense, and every time I think the division, and I know I think you picked three teams to make the playoffs. I mean, it's a long way off, and it still could happen, but sure looks unlikely now based on what's going on, particularly in the North.
After what I retweeted you this morning, your Pro Football Focus thing about Mariota holding the ball too long on 8 of 11 sacks. Same thing's happening here with Watson. He was sacked 7 more times. He was hit 12 more times, which means he has been sacked 25 times. He's been knocked down 66 more. Last year through 6 starts, it was 15-37. Last year through 6 starts, they averaged 34 points. This year, they're averaging 22, and yet their record is still the same in his 6 starts of 3-3. And I don't know if that's a reflection of the schedule or what, but he's holding the ball too long, trying to find receivers down the field and make plays, and he's getting pulverized because not only the line has struggled, so have the tight ends and the backs, but he's not getting rid of the ball fast enough.
John McClain with us. John, if you had to pick one quarterback other than Luck, because right now the Colts are 1-5, of the three remaining quarterbacks to choose from that are currently starting, who would you pick to rally and really finish strong as we get close to the halfway point of the season and turn that corner towards a playoff push?
Watson, he was on the verge of being the first quarterback to throw 375 yards, four consecutive games. And the Texans have been in the red zone so much, only the Rams have been in there more, but the Texans are 31st in red zone touchdowns. Last year when Watson was healthy, they were first at 67%. So I think since they have the same quarterback and the same play caller, they could improve that. And then moving the ball is not an issue. And at some point, Watson has thrown at least one interception in 8 games in a row. And he's thrown 3 this season in the end zone by making bad decisions. So he's not playing as well as he played last year. And I think that he's got really good receivers across the board. We like their tight ends. So I think he's got a good chance of snapping it if he just gets the ball out quicker.
John, are you buying or selling the Jags' ability to bounce back and return to the form they had in those first 2 weeks of the season?
Blake Bortles had been alternately good and bad. Good Blake, bad Blake. Now he's bad, bad Blake. And he was just horrendous in the game Sunday against the Cowboys. I'm still trying to figure out how the Texans can totally shut down the Cowboys' running and passing game. And then Dallas puts 40 on Jacksonville, and Jacksonville is still ranked number 2 in defense. So I don't see them getting as far as last year in the playoffs because Bortles has not shown any consistency whatsoever. Maybe that'll change. I look for him to have a good game against the Texans. Watson is playing with a bruised lung, sternum, and ribs, and he played every snap against the Bills, and he's one tough cookie, but I think the Jaguars without Fournette, don't know if he'll be back. you know, they're missing some pieces. And last year, remember, they only lost one starter, Allen Robinson. So they were very fortunate. Now they're not as fortunate on injuries yet as they were last season. But I don't see any team making any noise in the playoffs at this point. But all that could change.
For someone who loves to talk and talk and talk, Jalen Ramsey was awfully quiet in his postgame presser after that blowout loss to Dallas.
I couldn't understand him. He sounded like 70-year-old Bob Dylan mumbling.
Yeah. He was just mumbling. I don't know. That was basically his response to everything.
Maybe he was singing a Dylan tune, but, you know, that's what happens when you put yourself out there like that. It's going to come back and bite you in the butt. Just like Odell Beckham Jr., those guys like to make a scene, and really, I can't imagine all these players that, and I guess it's because of social media and the times we live in, making such a big deal out of themselves. But when you do that, you always put a target on your back. And after the game they played against the Cowboys, at least he showed up to say, I don't know.
It's funny, if I was in that media scrum, I would have said, boy, Jalen, you sure have a lot more to say when things go well than when they don't. I would have liked to have seen him react to that. I was disappointed nobody asked. What do you think is coming at the trade deadline? Things have been a little more active in recent years than historically. I know it's not going to be, you know, a baseball rampage, but what are you expecting, especially when it's out there that the Raiders, for example, are shopping two big guys and maybe the Cardinals a couple as well?
Last season was the most trades I've seen at the trading deadline, and it's October 30th. If the Raiders, at this point, they're 1-5 and they're not going anywhere, and truthfully, they might as well go ahead and start unloading players that Gruden doesn't think fit with what they do and get draft choices and start the rebuild for Las Vegas. As far as the Cardinals, I'm just amazed by this. That a couple of players, Hassan Reddick and Deion Buchanan, who were such mainstays on their defense under Bruce Arians, and then now because they don't fit in the style of play that Steve Wilks has, they're talking of trading them instead of finding a way to utilize their talent. The truth is, Steve Wilks could be gone in 3 years, and then they wish they had those guys back. So if you've got a chance to get a player that you think is going to help, like Atlanta, possibly trading for a safety like Carl Joseph because their defense is awful, but they still think they can compete for a wild card, then they need to do it. I think we're going to see quite a few.
Non-stop sports talk, 6 a.m. till 7 p.m. every weekday. Nashville's number one sports station, 104.5 The Zone.
It is the Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. John McClain with us, 615-737-1045, our number one line available if you'd like to grab it.
We're going to London later this week. We talked a little tennis earlier with John Feinstein. Quick tennis note out there. Shout out to Belmont Tennis. Hendrick Eno and Marco Ilic. They upset Tennessee's doubles team yesterday. They're going to advance to the NCAA tournament.
Awesome.
Final 32. So congrats to them. That's a big-time mid-major upset. And they're one of 32 teams left playing. So congratulations to Belmont Tennis on that great accomplishment.
Absolutely. Let's go to the phones, and we start with Donald up on line one for John McClain. Donald, go right ahead.
Hey, how you doing, John?
I'm great, Donald. How are you?
Just fine. I got two quick questions for you. First one, do you think the Bengals will be able to bounce back from that Steelers game? Somebody that takes a lot out of them, and they're going to be playing Kansas City, which is just as going to be a harder game than Steelers game was. You think they can be able to bounce back from that? And then also, too, the word is out that you got some team looking at trying to pick up Bridgewater. Do you see Bridgewater going to Jacksonville? That's what I'm hearing right now.
Boy, I do not see that. I don't know. Problem is, he's going to be a free agent in a year. If you trade for him and then you need 2 or 3 weeks to get him ready, remember how long it was the 49ers last year before they started Jimmy Garoppolo after they made the trade. So then would you have him for less than half a season and then he's gone? So I see that rumor out there, but I don't think it would be Bridgewater if they made a trade for quarterback. And as far as the Bengals, I think they're going to lose Vontaze Burfict again after that cheap shot he put elbow to the head. Antonio Brown, the officials didn't see. The NFL's looking at three plays in which Burfict they thought were dirty.
And he was just back from suspension, right?
He was. He missed the start of the season. And so I think the Bengals are good enough to bounce back. Kansas City has the worst defense in the NFL, so Andy Dalton should be able to put up some points, not 43 like Tom Brady did, but still a lot. But I think the Chiefs will beat them.
The reason why Cincinnati did not win against Pittsburgh this week was they threw 42 passes and only had 13 runs for 62 yards.
They couldn't stop James Conner either.
No, they could not. And the time of possession, because of that, because they couldn't stop the run game, was 35 minutes to 25 minutes at the end of the game. No turnovers in this game, though, which is surprising because you would expect a chippy game between both opponents. Normally, that's what we see between the Steelers and Bengals, but that didn't occur, and Pittsburgh won by 7.
Two landmark performances by teams. I believe the Patriots had no penalties, no turnovers. Aaron Rodgers, who just played brilliantly at the end of the game last night, became the first quarterback in history to throw for at least 400 yards in back-to-back games with no turnovers.
Jason is next. Hey, Jason.
Hey, thanks. Hey, John. I got two questions. I'm a native Nashvilleian, but I lived here long enough not to have had a pro team, so I pulled for two different teams, and I was born and raised a Steeler fan. I'm a Titans fan as well. But first question is, if Le'Veon Bell does come back, how do you see the splits between him and Connor? Is it going to be based on a performance-type issue? If they see Le'Veon pulling up, trying to save himself from injury, do you see more of Connor? Is the offensive line going to gel with Le'Veon after he's been gone? And my second question is a Titans question. Is the money that we pay Butler a little excessive based off his play that we've seen so far this year? And I'll hang up on this one. Thanks.
Thank you, Jason.
Based on what you've seen from his play so far, yes. But there was a time when he was really good. There's a story in the Boston Globe I retweeted this morning that looks at former Patriots and how they're playing. And did Bill Belichick make the right decision letting them go? And almost every decision is a good one. Now, Chandler Jones wasn't. They made that decision to get rid of him because they didn't want to have to pay him the big bucks a year or two later. And Butler has not lived up to the money at this point. And Le'Veon Bell's an interesting situation because James Conner is third in the league in rushing. He has 7 touchdowns. He's caught 26 passes. His stats through 6 games are better than Bell's were last year through 6 games when Bell ended his holdout. If I'm them, I'm trading him just to get rid of the problem, get whatever I can get, unless I can't get a 3. You know, you let him walk in free agency, you'll get a 3 as a compensatory pick. But Connor is very popular among the players and coaches. It's only a matter of time, though, before Bell would start to get the ball again.
John, I'm not for organizations making their decisions based on another organization and their decision. But I saw the same article you're talking about, and it is amazing the high percentage of guys that when Bill Belichick and the Patriots decide they don't want him anymore, they go on to do nothing. And how many of those players are overpaid? And Malcolm Butler, certainly right now, it's only been 6 games, but would be on that list. What do you think if an organization just said, if they play for the Patriots and Bill Belichick's done with them, we're not going to touch them. Someone else can sign them, but we're not going to go after that player based on that percentage.
Well, you wouldn't give him a big contract, that's for sure. But and Logan Ryan played pretty well.
Yeah, he's been okay.
So
now the argument would be you're paying him a lot to be a nickel corner, but he's been really good in his role.
Malcolm Butler's technically the nickel corner now, and you're paying him a real lot.
So you're paying two guys that kind of go back and forth.
When they got rid of Richard Seymour, remember that, and everybody just went ballistic. Lawyer Malloy was another one. The linebacker who's with the Browns, Collins. It's amazing how many players they've gotten rid of. But Brady, as the other night when their defense gave up 40, has been able to cover up a lot of those temple, so to speak.
It's amazing to me. PFT has done a good job of tracking this. Through 6 weeks, 4,489 points, a record. 504 touchdowns, a record. 328 touchdown passes, a record. In that 6 week, the Titans added nothing to any of those numbers.
It also tells me there's a lot of bad cornerback play across the league.
Bad defensive play, period.
Also, penalties are way up on DBs grabbing and holding.
Yes. Yep, and that was a point of emphasis this offseason. I mean, it is a league that is, as far as rules are concerned, is stacked against the defense, for sure.
And they may continue to have more rules in the offseason because the TV ratings are way up right now.
That's right. Let's go next to Slade. Hey, Slade.
Good afternoon, guys. Just wanted to check in. Wanted to ask John what he thought. So everybody's on Butler, and I know he hadn't lived up to the money. Do you think part of that is on Dean Pease for leaving him in single coverage a lot more than the other corners? It seems like safety help is more towards Adoree and Logan Ryan than it is with Malcolm. And also with LaFleur, do you think there's some almost being stubborn by staying in the I formation more than out of the shotgun where it seems like Mariota succeeds? That was all, and I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
I don't know about Mariota because I haven't watched to see the percentage. Paul, what do you think?
I was concentrating on the answer to the Butler question. Tell me that. On the Butler question, I think if you give a guy $30 million guaranteed, you should be able to leave him singled up. And so I think Pease is waiting for him to show it. What was the Marcus element of that?
About are they too stubborn staying in the eye as much as they are with Mariota instead of the shotgun?
I mean, I think they're in the shotgun plenty. Shotgun and pistol. I don't see any issue with him being under center and any frequent amount or any struggle from. I don't think any of us have looked at. Look, he struggled in every situation on Sunday. It wasn't like, oh, he's getting sacked every time he's under center and he's doing something every time he's in shotgun. He didn't do anything anytime. He threw front. They had 106 yards of offense.
They could have put him as deep as they put a punter and snap it to him. He probably still would have been sacked on Sunday against that defense.
It was bad.
With all these yards and points being put up, Baltimore's only given up more than 14 one time, which is throwback defense at a time when everybody's throwing it all over the place. And I'll tell you something else I'd be curious to know. A lot of times when you have sacks, it's because receivers aren't getting open and the quarterback's hoping they get open. Are the Titans receivers getting open?
No. They weren't in this game, and they weren't running. The thing was, and we had Blake Bedingfield in here a little while ago, he's talking about that they didn't adjust to run anything short and underneath. And look, they were in 3rd and 12 and 3rd and 14 all the time, and they were running people 12 and 14, which is what people demand all the time.
They were 3rd and 6s, too, where they were sacked.
Yeah, but they weren't running people underneath, you know, and there's one play in particular where Marcus got sacked, where Deion Lewis was right in front of him with a lot of green in front of him. It probably wasn't 18 yards that he needed, but hell, if you get 10 yards there, at least you're, you know, punting from 10 yards closer. They didn't seem to adjust the routes very well. Seemed to me, John, they were waiting all day for the adjustment to be that they blocked better, and they never blocked better.
Well, that's a bad formula, and hopefully, you know, the Chargers, they're 4-2, but they've beaten Little Sisters of the Poor. I looked up, like, their teams they've beaten are like 6-17-1. So that game is definitely winnable if the Titans can score a couple of touchdowns.
You know what, though? Credit to the Chargers for taking care of opponents that they should handle.
Yep, that's true.
The Titans have not done that. We saw that a couple of weeks ago in Buffalo. Let's go to Jeff next up. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great. Good.
Good, good. I was at the watching paint dry abysmal game this Sunday, and it was one of the worst I've been to in all the years it's been here. But if you're baking something and you forget the little bit of salt, like a teaspoon, it just goes completely flat. Is Delaney injury and Jonnu Smith completely blowing, like, his chance to make millions and millions of dollars right now? Is our pinch of salt, you think, a missing ingredient of like a blocking/catching tight end that we can rely on, or a star receiver And do you think that front office would be willing to pay that kind of money to where we get something like that in the future? I'll hang up and listen.
Well, I think, first of all, anytime a quarterback loses his favorite receiver, it's a blow to him and the offense. But usually you have to adjust and make somebody else your favorite receiver. In this case, considering Corey Davis was a number one pick, he would be the guy. But I don't think overall the receivers are competent that they're not going to beat you, and especially if you're not having enough time to throw.
Look, you've got to be able to adjust from losing your guy. But the Delanie Walker has firmly established how valuable he is while he was playing, and now he's firmly establishing just how important he is to this team while he's not playing.
John, Amari Cooper apparently on the trading block, depending on which outlets you read. Are you buying it, and would you trade for him?
I don't think he has been the receiver that people thought he would be when he came out of Alabama and went in the first round. I don't understand why they're looking to unload him. Most people think that Gruden's going to draft a quarterback and then trade Carr next year because he wants his kind of guy in there. Justin Herbert at Oregon is looking like he's going to be the top guy. But, man, if you start trading your best players, it tells the players you're throwing in the towel on the season. And if your goal is to be bad, that's a good way to do it. But it wouldn't surprise me at all when Gruden's in total control that just about anybody on that team would be available.
Fall means fantasy football, and since you never really win at fantasy football, maybe you'll have better luck with 4K a day. We're giving you a chance at $1,000 four times every weekday. All you have to do is text the national keyword to win. Complete contest rules and details at 1045thezone.com. Listen at 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. with 4K a day on 1045 The Zone.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. John McClain with us.
Will Craig of My All 22 said he re-listened to the preseason Orlovsky interview from August. I want to recap what he recapped. He said Orlovsky talked about how important Taywan Taylor catching a deep post once a game would be to the intermediate passing game. Titans missing those so much lately has probably allowed the defense to compress and definitely led to the Ravens being so dominant. We saw that big miss that we talked about the back judge getting involved with. So there's something that's quite telling that was a forecast. Another thing he talked about was not being in three wide all the time, but absolutely vital to have a tight end who's able to quickly read the defense and be on the same page as Mariota. When they came out with two tight ends and then went play action on first or second down, Mariota had to have total faith in his target there. We all assumed that wouldn't be a problem with Delanie, but that's been a huge issue so far. We've missed the deep shots, and play action on first and second down obviously hasn't been very good. The Delanie Walker factor, you don't want to make an excuse, but they haven't found the countermeasure to losing that reliable guy. And
what
again,
has been the reason that the running game hasn't worked as well as we thought?
I mean, I think it starts with them not blocking it up, and I don't know that either running back's really done a great deal to create stuff on his own. I mean, the best play I'm thinking of Hutton in the run game was a Deion Lewis screen, right? The fourth and two that he took 17 yards against the Eagles where he wiggled up the right
side.
That
one, and then Henry's best runs, I think, have been out of the Wildcat. Strongest aggressive runs. Yeah, the aggressive runs. Let's go back to the phones, and we go to Joel. Hey, Joel.
Hey, guys. How are you doing? I guess it's just coincidence. There hasn't really been any major rule changes to lead to it, but I was just curious your opinion on how there's so many overtime games and games ending in ties only, 6 weeks into the season. It's almost more than the last few years. I just kind of wondering what your opinion was.
They shortened the overtime to 10 minutes. And when they did it in March and said both teams can have the ball and before you go to sudden death, unless you score a touchdown, we asked Rich McKay, the chairman of the competition committee, the media did, said, well, you're going to create more overtimes. And he said, that's okay. I mean, not overtimes, ties. And he said, that's okay. And we're like, well, nobody likes a tie. The fact is, a tie doesn't count as much as a loss, but still, nobody likes a tie. I'm to the point that I'd rather see them have kickoffs like in soccer.
We go next to Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hi, John. I totally admire and respect your knowledge, first of all.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, I got maybe Paul can answer this better, but it seems to me that Mariota has some inaccuracies in throwing behind receivers, and I'm wondering if that injury to his arm is not really affecting this whole thing. That's number one. That's my first question. My second question to you, John, is do you think that the Eagles are suffering from a Super Bowl hangover? And I'll hang up and listen.
Well, I'll take the Titans question. I think he threw good deep balls against the Eagles, which to me put to rest the arm stuff unless there was a setback. And I have no reason to believe there was a setback. He threw a good deep ball to Taywan Taylor in this game. Their official got in the way a little bit, and there was a little bit too much on it. I don't think the arm's that much of a factor anymore.
I did not pick the Eagles to win the division. They had a lot of changes in personnel. They lost their offensive coordinator and their quarterback coach, who were vital to the development and the performance of Carson Wentz. Wentz is coming off the ACL surgery, and they've already lost as many games as they lost last year. I thought Mariota was all the way back after seeing what he did against the Eagles. In fact, the whole Titans team. Now, maybe Philadelphia will rally and still win the division, but that division is like the AFC South. It's nothing special. But I don't know so much it's a hangover other than the losses.
We mentioned that we get to Devontae Freeman going to injured reserve today. Trace wants to get into a discussion about his Atlanta Falcons. Hey, Trace.
Hey, guys. How you doing? John, it's nice to talk to you. How are you feeling these days, my friend?
I'm doing great, Trace. Thank you very much. Doing rehab twice a week. Thank you.
Great. Just wanted to talk about the Falcons for a second. I just heard that Devontae Freeman is going on IR, which didn't surprise me. But, after the win on Sunday, I still have a pretty good feeling, and call me stupid or crazy or what, but I believe it's a winnable game next Monday night against the Giants, and to go into the bye week at 3-4 and have a 2-1, record in the division, I still say there's a chance they could, if they don't win the division, they could at least make a wild card playoff. What do you think?
I think that considering how utterly horrible that defense was, and to win this last one, and they'll beat the Giants, and like you say, be 3-4 coming out of the bye. I don't know if they're going to trade for Raiders safety Carl Joseph, but it seems like they have to do something at safety. With Freeman being out so long, they're not going to have all of a sudden the ball control offense that's going to keep the defense on the bench. They're going to have to win shootouts. The most amazing statistic out there, I believe, of so many amazing ones, is Julio Jones being on a pace for 2,000 yards and no touchdowns.
The injuries that they have piled up are just crushing them, especially on defense, but now they're starting to pile up on offense. Keanu Neal, Deion Jones are both on IR. Ricardo Allen is on injured reserve. Devontae Freeman today on injured reserve for the Atlanta Falcons. Also, Andy LaVitre is on IR. And then on top of the players on IR for the season, and they could recall one of these, but for the season they're on IR. On top of that, Grady Jarrett and Calvin Ridley and Tack McKinley and Mohamed Sanu and their kicker, Matt Bryant, all of those guys have had injuries through the first 6 weeks of the season. It's crazy.
Lost season.
As long as Matt Ryan is healthy, they have a chance to beat anyone. When you lose your quarterback, that is when you not throw in the towel, but when you're going to be the underdog for every game.
Lee and Mark, your phone call's on Mariota coming up. John, thank you so much for the visit today, and we will catch up with you later this week.
guys, I hope you travel safe, get a lot of warm beer, and eat a lot of fish and chips.